The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
He just happened to say, hey, you know what? I know you've been struggling with some finances, gas prices, because the new clown in charge is running the gas prices up. Here, let me just give you, $1 million. You would think differently of him then, because he interacted with you personally. Right? I got a Reader's Digest back there if you want that. I can go get you a story and read you a story about the old ship of the sea. But do you want to hear the Word of God today? Do you want to hear from the Word of God? You see, the part about being Christians and coming to church isn't just about getting together, having a good time. The fathers are going to get a gift when they leave out of here today because they didn't honor Father's Day. But the part about coming to church is for us to let our brothers and sisters in the fellowship know how good God has been to us. Amen. Do you know why people don't believe Jesus is who he says he is? It's because we're not telling them. If I get up on Sunday morning and I say, oh, daggone it, I got to go to church again. Wednesday night, if I get in on Wednesday night and I say, Wednesday night, it's like, man, I wish I had another 3 or 4 hours just to keep mowing the lawn. If there's anything else you put before Christ and yourself, then you're not a really good witness for Jesus. And that's why our families are suffering. That's why this country is suffering. Because there is nobody who has believed our report, as Isaiah said. Or maybe they have believed our report. Maybe the report we're giving here is not the same report that we're giving through our life. It's easy to talk, but all you got to do is watch somebody for a little bit. All you got to do is watch their life for a little bit. And maybe the testimony we're giving by living our lives outside these doors is different than the testimony we're giving here. Because the eye is a much more willing pupil than ever was the ear. I grew up in the 60s. I'm a product of the 60s. And there was a song in the 60s that says you can't believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. Anybody ever heard any gossip that was wrong? Anybody ever see an election that was stolen in the middle of the night by computers? And we probably just got kicked off Facebook for that, but I don't care. It's true. 2,000 mules confirms, right? It's confirmed. They stole it. And by the way, all thieves will have their part in the lake that burns with fire. There's punishment coming. Don't think you're getting away with it. You might get away with it here, but my God is able. Boy, if some of you had been here for prayer this morning, you would have heard that my God is more than enough. He can supply all my needs. He is my El Shaddai. He always looks out for me. Jehovah Jireh, he is my God. That'll get you pumped up. That'll get a Baptist pumped up. And that's hard to do. You know the thing about, it's Father's Day, maybe she won't kill me. You know the thing about an air hose and getting air into your tire is that the little clip has to be on the valve stem. You can't just touch it. It has to depress the plunger, and which opens up the valve, which allows the air not to rush out, but to rush in. There's a certain person, I'm not going to mention her name, because that'd just be wrong, was trying to air up a lawnmower tire. And the little thing, you put the little valve stem on there and you lock it. You know that little tab you turn over and you lock it and make sure it depresses? Well, first it's got to be on the valve stem. It can't be here. This thing's not filling up. Let's change it from valve stem to our spirit. I can't hold God here and expect him to be here. I have to allow him to come in to my life if I'm going to make a difference, if we're going to make a difference in our families' lives and in our community and in this world, if we're going to make a difference. And somebody said, well, I just don't know what you can do. Have you seen the government lately? Well, I guarantee you that every one of the apostles that wrote the epistles, every one of the books of your Bible was written under a dictatorship of Rome. You ain't seen nothing yet. Baby. Some of you guys knew where that came from. Just said, you ain't seen nothing yet. We've never had anything like Nero in America. We've had liars and cheats, and you know that. My dad used to tell me, you know how you can tell when a politician's lying? His lips are moving. Good advice, Dad. Thank you. So, but we welcome you guys here today. It's not a political message. We love you, and happy Father's Day. Amen. And I'm not going to talk about seed donors. There's a difference. I'm going to talk about dads. I'm going to talk about fathers in the biblical sense. We're going to talk about what it means to be a father. And I don't know about you, but how many of you have noticed a trend lately where dad is the doofus in the house? It started some time ago with Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Anybody remember Tool Time? You know, Home Improvement. And it seems like from there forward, guys were always the doofus. They played dads down as being dumb. They played dads down as being stupid. The world is trying to castigate men. I would like to say that they've got an agenda. If they put a godly man and a heterosexual father down, then they can swoop into the homosexual agenda that they've got today. Am I all right? Yeah, you're not gonna set me down yet. Don't stop me when I'm preaching good. To where now we've even said it, and it's even being proclaimed, and you can see it. They're wanting more of the world lifestyle than they are of a godly lifestyle. Yeah. If it were possible, I think Walt Disney's probably kicking at the roof of his sarcophagus saying, let me out, I got some stuff to fix. Godly men. And you women can get a pass today. I think Pastor did pretty good on Mother's Day, so you women get it. Thank you for godly women. But by the way, we'd also like to, during our prayer time, we'd also like to thank those of you who contribute to the ministry of the River. Thank you for those who have to give, and we pray that the Lord would bless those that don't have to give so that they can become blessed, because it is our Lord who, He's our provider. Amen. And that's our prayer for you guys today. God bless you. Happy Father's Day. All right. Turn with me. Now, how many of you have been reading in the Daily Fire? We've been spending a lot of time camping over in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a tough one, isn't it? Man. I mean, he laid it out. There's no ifs, no ands, no buts. In Deuteronomy, dads, you got a responsibility. Right? And I'm going to say this is modern vernacular. There are too many people in the world today, too many young men that are not being counseled by men and godly men, and they're ready for the one night stand, but they're not ready for the commitment of a lifetime.
That's right.
Amen. Can I just throw that out there? You want the fun of the thrill of 10 minutes, but it's a lifetime. It's a lifetime when a child is involved. And Deuteronomy even gets even more bolder than that. He talks to the third and fourth generation. Not the Christian church, but some other churches that claim to be Christian, they talk about prodigy. They talk about their heritage. They talk about leaving behind a good report. It's time that we bring that back into the body of Christ and say, we need fathers, godly fathers, in the house today. Amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Am I right? No, I'm not. Chapter 4. You're right. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm going to begin in verse 7. And all the verses today, by the way, are in the New King James Version. and just simpler for you to hear. I can read King James for you, but if I were to talk about fortnights and these and thous, most of you, I would lose most of you at that. So we'll read a language that's easy for you to hear. Now, the problem here, let me give you the problem. I'm going to tell you the truth today. People have two ways of receiving truth. You either hear it and receive it from a teaching, or you must experience it. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. I can't launch out into the deep on pastors' understanding of the truth. I have to have my own. And so the truth, once you hear it, you're responsible for it. But know this, the truth will prevail whether you learn it in a Bible setting, in a ministry setting, in preaching, in a sermon or a teaching. You either learn it there or you will experience it and learn it that way. Now, it's often been said that experience is the best teacher. However, she is the most expensive. How I would like to have opportunities to do over again. Amen? There are Ishmaels that you'll hear talked about around here where we tried to help God out, and they stay at your table forever. The trouble that we're having in the Middle East today between the Palestinians and the Israelites can go back to Sarai saying to Abram, "Why don't you just take my handmaid Hagar? Let's help God out." If we could go back in a time machine, how many of us would say, "Don't do it! It's a trap!" Right? Okay. Once you hear the truth, you're responsible for it. All right? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7 to 9. "For what great nation is there that God has so near, that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us?" Think about that for a moment. It was written to Israel, but who can relate to that today? I mean, it wasn't until we had the Muslim president that said we're not a Christian nation. For 250 years, we were based on the principles of Christ, and one person decided to say we're not. He didn't speak for me. "For whatever reason, may we call upon him." Whatever reason. I've had people tell me, I was in need, but I didn't want to call you, Pastor. I had an issue, and I just didn't want to bother you. If you don't have that underlined, whatever reason, you can call upon the name of the Lord. For whatever reason, you can call upon your brothers in Christ. I'm talking to godly men here. Whatever reason, we may call upon him. "And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day?" Verse number 9 says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." One of the premises that we go on here at the River is we praise him not in response to what we have today, but in response to what we have seen in the past and what we're hoping to get in the future. When the praises go up, the blessings come down. But I'm going to praise him even when it's not raining blessings. I have made up my mind that I'm going to praise him for who he is. And if you don't know Jesus for who he is, then you don't know Jesus. There are a lot of people today that say they know Jesus. There are a lot of people today that say they're saved and they believe that they're saved, but they're not. Just putting on a Harley shirt does not make you a biker. Let that sink in a little bit. I've got a guy that I know has every Harley shirt. Every time he goes by a Harley dealership in all 50 states, he's got Harley shirts from there. So you go over to his house and say, "Let me see your bike." "Well, I don't have a bike. I just like the shirts." Wearing a cross around your neck does not make you a Christian. Although Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Wearing a cross, doing all the do's. If you did every one of the do's and none of the don'ts, it does not change your heart. The heart is not changed from without, it's changed from within. And only through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. There is no regenerative power in anything in the world, because Jesus told us, there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. Our good deeds won't do it. Our good works won't do it. You can memorize the Bible cover to cover. Now, I would challenge you to do that, because if you do and you start memorizing it, get it in, it'll change you. But you can have it memorized and not go to heaven. I know lost people that can quote more scripture than me. I know lost people that understand certain parts of the Bible better than me, but they're lost. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Like I said, we're going to spend a lot of time in Deuteronomy, and then we're going to bust out, and hopefully you're going to be blessed after you hear these. But you need to understand what is the requirement, right? You're driving down the road doing 55, and an officer pulls you over. Like, what was I doing? Oh, you probably didn't see the sign down there. It dropped from 55 down to 35. Well, how was I supposed to know? There are going to be people that stand before a righteous God one day and say, I thought I was okay. How was I supposed to know? That's where 2 Timothy, Paul's second epistle to Timothy, comes into play. Chapter 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved. You got to know, though. You remember what? Remember, I didn't get a speeding ticket. I got a warning, and the state police officer that pulled me over said, "I wasn't paying attention. I didn't know how fast I was going." He goes, "Well, you've heard ignorance of the law is no excuse, right?" Yes, sir. I'll tell that story later. Not today. Deuteronomy 5, beginning in verse 7. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. You may say, well, I don't hate God. Are you living for him? To know him is to love him. You can't say you know God sincerely and hate him. Because if you know him, in the biblical sense, if you know him, you will love him. But fathers, this is your iniquity. They call this a familiar spirit. How's come if a father was an alcoholic, the children will end up being alcoholics? How's come if the grandfather was an abuser, the children will grow up being abusers? It's familiar. And you can be free of that today in Jesus' name. You don't have to bear that. I have a friend that for the longest time, well, my dad abused my mom, and he swore at us kids, and he abused us kids, and, well, I must take it after him. It comes natural. Old Hank Williams song, family tradition. It don't have to go that way. It can start new with you today. Amen? Jesus can take up that past and put a fresh heart of one of clay in you that is able to feel compassion and feel the things of God. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. I've got a lot of scriptures I'm going to throw at you. If you want the scripture list, just let me know and I'll get this to you. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Hello, 2021 verse for the year. God had us training here for a while. We were camped here. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You know the crazy thing about the truth? The crazy thing about the truth is, even if you don't hear it and don't listen to it and don't receive it, There's something that God put inside of you that will remind you of the truth. And 50 to 100 years from now, if you're not on this earth, you will remember that you were told the truth. Especially if you don't go to heaven. You will, why didn't I listen? Verse number 7. Not only are the words to be in your heart, but you shall teach them diligently to your children. Dad, you've got a command from God. You say, well, how can I teach my kids this when I don't know it? Good question. I can help you with that. Let's get that fixed. Let's get that corrected. How can I teach my children the statutes when I don't live by them? Ah, that hypocrisy thing is a bummer, isn't it? Because you can't fool kids. The people that live in your house, you can't fool them. They see how you dress up. They see what you do when you come to church. But when you get home, are you living for Jehovah or are you living for Baal? The kids know. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk about them when you sit in your house. And when you walk by the way. And when you lie down and when you rise up. Some people get up and say, oh God, it's morning. And some people say, it's morning, God. What are we going to do? Which one are you? You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, I know somebody here, and if you guys have been to the Sparks house, there are scriptures on little index cards all over the house. You cannot go into any room and not see a scripture in the house. And each one of those scriptures has significance to the Sparks family. Psalm 103 is listed several times in our house. What scriptures do you have posted at your place? You got to have the ones that God's revealing to your heart. But we're to put them as frontlets. We're to bind them. We're to mark them down and we're to put them up. When someone comes into your house, they should know, oh, hey, I'm not dealing with the average Joe here. I'm not dealing with that casual Christian or that carnal Christian. I'm dealing with somebody who's got a verse on the wall and says, you know, Lord, I'm reminding you daily of that verse. I'm reminding you of that verse. You gave it to me, and the reason you gave it to me was so that I could remind you of it when I need a healing, when I need provision, when I need something in my life. Lord, I've got your word. That's your contract, by the way. That's your contract. Anybody ever pay for unlimited Wi-Fi on your phones, unlimited hotspot, and then they decide they're going to slow you down because you use too much? Well, they don't have the same definition of unlimited as I do. Fortunately for us, my lawyer did. And then all of a sudden, Sprint went out and there's no plan to be had. Well, you can't hold them responsible and accountable if they sell out to whatever they sold out to. Write them down on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. And you know one of the cool things, guys, if you got a problem with temptation, and you got a problem with, you know, if you got a problem with road rage and you got a problem with some other stuff, it'd be cool to put one on your bumper sticker and put one on your dash that reminds you that wherever you go, Jehovah Jireh is riding with you. It's going to be kind of hard to explain. You get pulled over by a cop and you give a cop a bad, you know, bad time, and you give a cop a hard time. It's kind of like the lady that was at the stoplight, and a little old lady was driving in front of her. You know, the one that looks through the steering wheel, you know? And she sat through two lights. Two serious lights. I'd like to say that all this is a made-up story, but the guy did that to me the other day at 150 and 30. It's like, dude, hey, come on, buddy. What are you doing? The guy in front of me was like, beep, 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 you know. People get impatient in cars. You better hope the Lord don't come back when you're driving. Stand over here and preach to these guys. Put a scripture in your car. Put one on your bumper. Because it's hard to kick against the goads. So it's back to the lady who went through two lights and finally on yellow on the third one, she pulls out and it turns red. And this lady behind her was honking the horn, screaming, flailing her arms, cussing, swearing. Now on the fourth light, police officer walks up and taps on the window. Excuse me, are you okay? Well, what are you talking about? Didn't you see what you, blah, 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 blah. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, step out of the car and come with me. What? Well, I'm late already. She step out of the car. Takes her back and checks her license and information and says, well, okay, it is you. He goes, what did you do that for? You're just harassing me. What did you do that for? Well, you had that Jesus Saves bumper sticker on your bumper. And the way you were yelling and cussing and the way you were acting, I was almost sure that the car was stolen. Put your scripture on there. Put you a bumper sticker on there. Way back before we had bumper stickers, had a guy from Wawasee High School, some of the crassest people I know, called me up. We were giving that homecoming. We went up there and gave away popcorn. We gave away footballs, you know, the little squeezy footballs, you know. So all of them just said, the river, you know, we love you guys. And had a guy call me the next morning. I mean, he was the maddest. Well, I'm president of the Athletic Supporter Club, or whatever they call it. Anyway, I'm president of this, that, and the other thing, and I don't appreciate all them cups being thrown down out there at the football game. I'm responsible for cleaning that up. Don't you bunch of idiots know who you are? And by the way, I saw somebody with one of your bumper stickers this morning. I followed them, and they were driving erratic, and they almost caused me to go in the ditch. I'm like, well, thank you, sir. One, we didn't tell your people not to throw them in the ground. We, you know, hopefully they knew enough to use a receptacle, you know, the thing that says pitch in. And two, we were still over at the gas station. We didn't have bumper stickers. I said, I don't know what you followed. I don't know what you were seeing. I don't know who the person you was. I said, but that's not us. And I offered to take him out to dinner, and I offered to come up and help him. I said, look, I'll come up and help you pick it up. And you know what the last thing he said to me? This crass individual. I still got the emails at home. I'll show them to you one day if you want. This crass individual, I don't want nothing to do with you. And expletives deleted. I don't want nothing to do with you. We didn't do anything wrong. But because of the actions of some others, you know, this guy had a, I don't know if he's still there or not, but he was mad. He was mad. We went to Tip Valley, same thing. Homecoming Tip Valley did the same thing. They loved him. They loved him. They evidently they knew how to find the trash can. I don't know. But nobody called me from Tip Valley. Nobody emailed me, texted me. Oh. And he says, I don't ever want to hear from you again. I'm like, wow. That's pretty rough. If you don't want to volunteer, you know there's going to be 500-600 people there, maybe 1,000. If you don't want to volunteer, maybe you shouldn't do it on homecoming night. Just a thought. But not saying that all Wawaseans are like that. Okay, I realized after I started down that story, I love you guys. Wasn't you. No. But it's true. All right. Okay. Write them on your doorposts and on your house and on your gates and on your car. Put your scriptures out there. Let the world know that you stand for Jesus. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Let the world know that who you stand for. Deuteronomy 11, verse number 18. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. That way, people coming in and people going out will see the scripture. They will see the statutes of God. They will know that someone loves the Lord in this place. They will know that someone in this place loves the Lord. That your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. Wow, whoa, whoa. Have we not heard? What did Pastor Ken teach us about the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If I begin to teach and I begin to talk about the statutes and talk about the blessings of God and talk about God's provision in my house, and if I write them on the post and I write them on the gate and I talk about them with my kids, I don't know about you guys, but we had no TV nights. No TV, and then when the devices came along, no device nights. We're going to enjoy each other. We're going to find out who's living in this house. We're going to find out who's under this roof. And at first they were like, oh, Dad. I'm like, oh, Dad, nothing. Put them away. Well, what if I get a call? And I would look at Vanessa and I'd say, did we go out and buy those stupid phones that don't have an answering service on them? We need to trash these and get one of these. Oh, but they want to talk now. Too bad. Not addicted. Thank God I grew up in an era when the telephone was down the hall and you had to go down the hall, sit at the little desk, and use it. And you picked it up. This is going to shock you. You picked it up without knowing who was on the other end. You might have to talk to a stranger. Man, I'm glad I grew up safe. Now I see who's calling, you know, like, oh, okay. Hi, my name, you know, it says Jeff Swanson from North Webster. I know some Swansons in North Webster, so I pick it up. Hello. My name is Raji. I'm calling you about American cancer. I'm like, hey, Raji. Tell me. Now, my new thing is, you know, and I try to talk, keep them as long as I can. You guys know this. I try to get them, you know, I said, hey, Raji, tell me what town are you coming from? What location are you coming from? Well, I'm calling about the American. I said, I don't know who you're calling from. Where are you calling from? Well, what do you mean? I'm calling you from right here in Los Angeles, sunny Los Angeles. I said, well, you're a liar because your phone spoofed it and said you're calling from North Webster, Indiana. Tell me about North Webster, Indiana, Raj. I called you about, I said, I don't care. Tell me about North Webster. Well, I must to go. Well, I assure you, you must go, but you're going to go someplace else because all liars will have their part of a lake that burns with fire for eternity. Repent, Raj. Are you entertaining liars? We're not to give place to some of those people. Dads, you should know that as the protector of your house. You should know. Take a day. No devices. You ought to try it sometime. It is so liberating. It'll be waiting on you when you get there. When I was in management, Vanessa would sometimes take my work phone and put it on the top of the file cabinet. You don't need to know. And her logic was sound. If I die today, they'll replace me tomorrow. They don't need me this minute. I wish I could say I was lying, and if we weren't on the air, I would give you a very good example. I would give you an example recently that happened. It's just the way the workplace is. Teach your children. That your days on earth will be like they are in heaven. That's what we're called to do, dads. Moving right along. Proverbs 16 and 31. And this is kind of a funny one, a good one. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. The silver head. My dad used to kid me when I started turning gray. And my dad and my brother both lost their hair at a very young age. And dad says, "Lord, son, you're getting gray." And I said, "I'm just glad I got enough hair to turn gray. Matthew chapter 7, and we're gonna round this out here in Matthew chapter 7. Then I'm going to give you a challenge. Matthew chapter 7. Now, this is a very popular scripture being misquoted and misused today. Misquoted and misused because people who are outside the church do not understand the context of what Jesus is saying. And so they're saying, "You can't judge me." Well, why would I want to? Why would I want to judge you? I've got enough trouble judging myself, as the Apostle Paul said. You see, if I judge you, I'm still going to be judged. But the Apostle Paul said, if I judge myself, then I'm not going to be judged. So you choose which one you want to do. I'm choosing to judge myself. All right? You can judge whoever you want to, but we're going to find out about what happens to those that do it. But the Apostle Paul says, if you would judge yourself, remember we heard about that last week in 1 Corinthians, we were talking about communion, and if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. Right? All right. Matthew chapter 7. Judge not that you be not judged. Now that's the famous verse that everybody stops with. Judge not. But verse number 2 continues, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged." Let that sink in. Let that simmer for just a minute. A lot of times in the church, we judge people because they sin differently than I do. It's still sin. A lot of times in the church wants to judge people that are different than them. But God made them. We need to understand that what kind of world would it be if everybody thought like I did, walked like I did, you know, bought the same tractors and cars that I did, and bought everything. If we all had to do everything just alike, we would be like the 50s moms that had, you know, twins and triplets. The worst identity crisis you can ever have is to be dressed up like your siblings. I've got twin cousins, Bonnie and Connie. And a lot of people couldn't tell them apart. For most of their life, they're identical. A lot of people couldn't tell them apart. But I could. And they had a complex growing up because everybody dressed them alike, and they're like, "No, I'm Bonnie," or "No, I'm Connie," or and I know another couple of twins, and they did the same thing. "Well, I'm him, I'm her," you know, and come to find out, you struggle for identity, your own identity, if you're trying to be alike. So we've got to be who God called us to be. And aren't you glad that God didn't call you to be me? Think about that for a minute. Aren't you glad God didn't call you to be a Brother Sumrall or to be a pastor, even a Pastor Burkhardt? Or aren't you glad God called you to be you? He called us to be individuals. "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be used back to you." Boy, there are a lot of people that are really wanting to crack a whip and really wanting to really punish people for their iniquity and for their sin. Be careful. This is a word of warning. Be careful. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Big word here. I hope you're ready for it. This is what Jesus says to you, hypocrite. Hypocrite, exclamation mark. That is a sentence in of itself. Jesus is talking to those who judge others and not themselves, hypocrites. That's why the judgment game is so very, very dangerous. Except we do it as the way the Apostle Paul said, I got to judge myself. Now, the problem that we get into when we judge ourselves and when we start judging ourselves is we want to give ourselves a pass. Well, it wasn't that bad. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. You know, you didn't die. You know, that's the problem with Adam and Eve in the garden. When the Lord said, you shouldn't take of the tree in the center of the garden, the knowledge of good and evil, you shouldn't take of that tree, because in the day that you do, it will surely die. You will surely die. They thought that there was only one death. They thought that this body would die. But the minute that they ate of it, their spirit man died. And they were destined to live forever with a dead spirit man. Look, I didn't die. God said you would die. That's what the devil does. He comes and gives us half-truths. He said, you didn't die. God just knows it'll make you like him to know the difference between good and evil. And that's a half-truth. They knew the difference between good and evil. The only difference is, unlike God, they couldn't do only good. Can you? The Apostle Paul said, I know to do good, but I don't do it. And he goes, these things I know that are not helpful for me, I don't want to do them, but I do them. Remember what we said last week during the communion message? What can wash away our sin? What can cause a young man to cleanse his ways? The blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Don't go without hope. Jesus said, hypocrites, first remove the plank that is from your own eye, and then you'll see clearly how to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. Amen. And everyone who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, Jesus said, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more? Notice that's not a question, it's a statement. He said, if I know how to give good gifts to my children, me being evil, repented evil, might I add, under the blood evil, still born in iniquity, but reborn anew. The old man's gone. There's a new man here. There's a new man walking before you. All right? If I know then how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will God give me if I ask him? The problem is that we don't have a relationship with God of this sort. Too many people in America today believe that God is a genie in a bottle, and they only pull him out, and they only ever address him, and they only ever call on him when they're in a need. When's the last time everything was going good and you said, hey, Lord, I love you and I just want to thank you? But you let the storms of life come. You let the storms hit. And boy, we can get the most religious. We get religion in. My grandpa used to call it foxhole religion. I don't know how many promises he talked about being made in a foxhole. Oh, Lord, if you just get me out of this mess, I'll never, never, never. And I'll always, always, always. I remember one time I was visiting with a fellow in prison. He says, Pastor, if I ever get out of here, I'm coming to your church. Interesting. Pastor, if I ever get out of here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. If I ever get out of here, oh, and by the way, Pastor, can you get me a Bible? You know, a Bible is contraband in prison. We had to go through a state senator to get a Bible in at Pendleton, Indiana. I can carry mine in. My Bible's been to jail. I can carry mine in. I can go in. But if I so much as left a post-it note from this Bible in that meeting area, that's contraband. And then I would be preaching from the inside out. It must have been funnier then. You can't take your Bible in. You can't leave it. You've got to bring it out with you. And then we went through, and thank God for Pastor Jerry. He helped us find a person that got a hold of the chaplain, got a hold of somebody else, got a hold of the Department of Corrections, got a hold of this, got a hold of that. You know? And after a FBI background check on the Bible, well, okay, we can take a New Testament in. Oh, yeah, you had to mail it. You had to mail it to the chaplain. The chaplain took it in. All right. If we, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more does the Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Okay. For everyone who asks receives, right? And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread... I'm already past that, aren't I? Okay. Scrolled my thing. Therefore, verse number 12. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you want men to do to you, then you do that to them. Do you realize, and a lot of Christians don't, but do you realize we train people how to respond and react to us? We train people how to receive us. There are people who are so stoic, they crack a smile, their face would break. Don't be that person. That's Bob. Don't be Bob. There are people that can't get serious for a minute. Known some people like that. They couldn't get serious. One time they'd be laughing and cutting up, and 10 seconds later they're bawling their eyes out. There was no interchange. Don't be that person. Be steadfast. Trust in the Lord. Seek the Lord in all that you do, and He will light your path. Amen. Five things. I want to close with this. Five things. Fathers, I'm talking just strictly to dads now. And moms, you can help too. But strictly to dads. Five things. Five points. Know this, dads. Your children read you like a book. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. The Apostle Paul says, you are our epistles, you're our book, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, even the ones in your household. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but of flesh that is of the heart. Dads, you are read. You're an epistle, and you're on display, and you're read of all men, especially those in your house. Number two, 1 Timothy 5 and 8. You must, dads, you must provide for your family. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Dads, you've got an obligation to provide for your family. Number three, a righteous father disciplines his children. There's going to be discipline. There's got to be discipline in the home. Growing up, I read this and I thought, man, my dad's the holiest guy I know. Not without cause. I wish I could say it was without cause. But Proverbs 13 and 24, he who spares his rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Promptly. Notice it doesn't say, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. That was Ben Franklin. It says, if you spare the rod, you hate your child. You hate your son. My dad loved me.
Yes, he did.
He was righteous. Whew. And it was prompt. I'll just leave it there. Number four. You must spend time, dads, with your children. Not just empty, passing time, but meaningful time. You must spend time with your children. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit up in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Dad, what are you talking to your kids about today? You can talk about other things, but you better be talking about the Lord. Because dads, if you don't teach them about Jesus, if you don't tell them who Jesus is, the world will tell them who He's not. We're commanded to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Whose responsibility is that? Are they going to get that in the school systems? Any one of them? No. That's our responsibility. That's the godly dad responsibility. And then lastly, and sometimes this one's hard for me. A lot of you guys know what we've been going through, and sometimes this one's tough for me. This is an area that I could use your prayer on. Godly dads never give up on their kids. Even though it seems like their kids have given up on them, godly dads never give up on their kids. Luke 15, verse 20. This is my prayer today. Because this father's son was in a foreign land. And the scripture says just before this that he finally came to himself. It dawned on him, wow, even the servants have better than I'm doing right now at my father's house. I'm going to arise and I'm going to go back to dad's house. Verse number 20. And he arose and he came to his father. Now watch this, dad. But when he, the son, was still a great way off, his father saw him. And had compassion on him. His dad never gave up looking for the day that his son would come home. His dad never gave up on it. He knew his son was living wrong. His son was out partying, drinking, doing all the things in the world, claiming that dad's home, he's saved, he's good, all's good there. But I'm going to spend my inheritance. But a famine's coming. A famine's coming. Let me just tell you, 2022, a famine's coming. Don't let it drive you beyond your knees. The son came to himself. And when he started down that road home, his father was watching. I suppose his dad looked down that road every day. I suppose his dad had the servants leave an extra plate on the table every day. Because my wayward son, I'm praying that he comes home. Dad, we can't give up on our kids. He saw him a long way off and he had compassion. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Oh, how great is a father's love. I'm not talking about a sperm donor. I'm talking about a dad. I'm talking about a father. What we're living in today is the result of a fatherless generation. Men who have no connection with their own dads, let alone their godly, heavenly father. That is the lion's share. I heard Billy Graham talking about in a crusade in the 60s. You can see those reruns. And he said, what we have today, what we have going on today is a fatherless generation trying to figure things out that their dad should have taught them. Dads, it's up to you. It's up to you. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Dads, we have got to, we must endeavor to know that our children are reading us like a book, that we have to provide for them. Sometimes that will be discipline. We have to be disciplined. And we need to spend godly quality time, not just empty time, with them. And then never give up. If I can encourage you today, dads, never give up. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the honor and all the glory. Lord, we just ask right now that the message today about fathers and fatherhood came from your manual. Came from your instruction on that which maketh a father. And Lord, I ask today that every father present, everyone, would subscribe to the message and the manner that you left us so that our sons and daughters might come to know you. And it's in your name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. Well, praise God.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.